Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a podcast where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And we're talking about Season 9, Episode 19, Low Blow, on this podcast. And I recommend you watch that episode before listening to this podcast. NYPD Blue is available on Disney Plus, Hulu, which I guess is going away and being converted to just Disney Plus. And it is on Amazon up for purchase, I think. Sometimes it disappeared on me. And it's on DVDs, easiest to get in America. I'm not sure if you can get in other territories. You could also watch it through less than legal means, which I would never suggest you do. It's important to watch beforehand because this is kind of an unedited, just freewheel and talk about the episode as a whole. We don't really get into the whole thing, and it just makes a little more sense if you've watched the episode. Also, a heads up, my brother's dog Echo is in the room with us during this recording, so occasionally we address what he's doing, which you can't see.
Season 9, Episode 19, Low Blow. A reminder, we're not really going over the whole episode like we used to. We're kind of just talking about it. And I got to say, Kyle, right off the top, in my mind, in the universe of NYPD Blue, Laughlin is called a pussy every fucking day for the rest of his career. Because that motherfucker... One, is the dumbest man ever, and two, tried to make this whole thing about how Clark is a pussy and then he loses in the ring.
He still fought him. It doesn't make him a pussy. Like, it'd be a pussy if he, like, talked all that shit and then got out of it.
He talked all that shit and then hit him in the nuts. He's a pussy.
Was it intentional, though? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on. You watched the scene.
Yeah, you're right. You know, all those years of boxing that you did. I get it. You understand. Low blows. But
I know boxing just as well as John the PAA does.
It seems like John knows boxing better than anyone in that room.
Yeah, probably.
And he was manlier than Sipowicz that day. So I've been rewatching the first and second season.
While we're watching season 9.
Just 19.
9.
Oh, this is 9. I don't know why.
Episode
I
19. 19,
yeah.
It's on South Park.
And these later seasons are making the first couple seasons bad.
Okay, that's an interesting
Like,
trick.
It's making me hate the show.
Okay.
Like, it's weird. Like, I think it's because, like...
It took 9 seasons for you to completely turn around on NYPD.
No. I think it took, like, 15 years of watching this show nonstop to finally, like, hate it. And it's like I'm watching Jimmy Smith's episodes, and I was like, yeah, he's not that good. Like, he wasn't good. Okay. He wasn't good in this.
Kyle.
Like, this is stupid. This is dumb. And then it's like, no, I just watched... fucking what's the next episode?
Oedipus Wrecked.
I just watched Oedipus Wrecked and had to sit through that acting shit show, so I'm like, my brain's fucked up. I gotta like take a day and then rewatch this. It's fucking with me.
I would say I'm going through season 1 and season 2 right now, and watching those and then watching this, it's just doing what I think of like later day Office, where you watch it and you're like, it's not as good.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
yeah.
as good.
It's like...
Like, you can, you're
it
trying.
It tastes like Domino's, but... I mean, it looks like Domino's, it smells like Domino's, but it doesn't taste like Domino's. Like, it looks like El Taco, it smells like El Taco, but something's different. It's not the same that it was, like, 5-6 years ago. And that's what I feel like with the show. That's what it, like... I don't know, dude, the acting is, like, pretty horrendous. Like...
horrendous?
The scene where Laughlin and John get called into the captain's office...
Oh, we gotta talk about that.
That too. Captain had to have been somebody's buddy. That had to have been like David Milch's buddy or the detective Clark's buddy or whatever, Bill Clark's buddy. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, dude, please. Like, he really wants to be an actor. Like, just, he used to be my captain. Like, he could do this. He was a captain. Like, and then the guy gets in there and he just basically is like, all right, this isn't for everyone to be fighting. Like, this is. Rah, 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 rah.
I
like, oh my my God, this is fucking garbage.
I would say, I think one of the reasons it seems really bad is because of how asinine that scene is. Because the whole point is, Laughlin has been fucking horrendously bullying John and the whole uniform department, or the whole uniform group, has been like leaving chickens in the fucking break room and doing bok bok bok, even at the scene of a rape victim, which I was like, hey, bro.
But we're just like trying to keep it lighthearted.
Like, read the fucking room.
They weren't at the scene. They're at the hospital.
Read the room.
They're dude. In the hospital.
That dude was a dumbass. But yeah, he was just like,
it already happened. Like, there's nothing that guy can do about it.
No.
Down.
No. No, down. No. When he did that,
what I found,
when John turned around and said, we're dealing with a rape case, and then the guy boxed, he should have been like, I'm going to punch you in the fucking face. Like, are you a dumbass? We're dealing with an actual horrendous crime.
When they sat down with the captain,
this scene is,
the captain goes, I'm not letting you guys fight because I'm hearing it's a grudge match.
Clearly it is.
And then both of them are like, nah, I mean, have we been talking shit to each other the whole time? Yeah. Do I not like him? Does he not like me? Yeah. Do we want to get in the ring and figure it out? Yeah. But this isn't a grudge match. And then the captain just goes, you're back on.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
It was, and yeah.
Because this is also after Clark goes downstairs and goes, hey, can I talk to you in this room? And then loudly expresses, anywhere, anytime, you and me.
And then, yeah, and then after that, he gets called into the office to get his fight back.
And what's insane also is when you watch that scene where you're like, okay, these two definitely got to keep it together because they got to convince this guy that they don't hate each other. And every fucking chance he gets, Laughlin's like, well, they think they're better than everyone else, so sometimes you got to punch him in the face. And it's like, hey, Laughlin, do you want to fight or are you being it? I like, there is a part of me
that's caliente
that thinks Laughlin was trying to sabotage it with all of the shit so he didn't have to fight him.
Yeah, because, of course, because the uniform officer group is bigger. So if the fight gets canceled and then he goes and tells all of his buddies, like, nah, man, I wanted to fight, but he was a pussy, then the uniform squad's bigger, so that's the story that's going to get out. And he knows John's not going to go tell everybody, oh, no, Laughlin backed out like a bitch. John's just going to move on. So, yeah, of course.
It's real. Yeah, it's insane. It's also insane how, because we were talking about how, oh, I heard you're fighting Laughlin in the smoker. The repeated line in this one is some sort of derogatory thing towards John about backing out of the smoker. I heard it's this time of the month. I heard he's too chicken. And it's like, guys, don't you have shit to do today?
Yeah, but they're doing it. They're just being cops, fucking with other cops. Like, that's what they had to do that day.
But yeah, that's the main story. They have the smoker.
The main story, not the rape.
Did you just fart on your dog?
He wants to be an asshole. That's what he gets.
Calm down. Yeah, because he's passed out. That is the story. They cut the rape story short so they could have a whole boxing match. Like, like in a scene where you're like, okay, Sipowicz should really have a heart-to-heart with this guy. Instead, it's like, what are you going to do? I got to get to a boxing match. Like, that's literally how that scene is, basically.
Yeah, after the man, like, almost, like, tried to kill himself.
Yeah, because like, he was accused of rape. What'd you do?
You drove this man to suicide. Trying to kill himself because he was accused a second time of rape that he didn't do.
And he goes to him.
And not only that, you put him in a cell.
Oh, yeah, so.
And not only that. He's a motherfucking firefighter.
Yeah, so
9/11, never forget.
Neil Flynn is the guy playing this character. He's a firefighter. You may know him from Scrubs, where he was the janitor. He was also
Do you know him from anything else but Scrubs?
Apparently, he's one of the girls' dads in Mean Girls, and he's in Magnolia.
Oh, you think he's Lindsay Lohan's dad?
And he's in Magnolia.
He was also the head of a TV show for like a couple episodes with the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called like, I'm not even going to pretend what it was called, but I think it was on like ABC or NBC. It was like he and her were like, they had like
the middle?
Maybe. And they had like a wacky family.
Yeah, I think it's
like
the middle
life, you know, middle class life. Oh, craziness.
I remember it was the middle because I was like, is this a sequel to Malcolm in the Middle? And he's just not there.
No, that's coming though.
But that's happening somewhere else.
Now that he's 45, we need a sequel on where Malcolm went.
Kyle, we need more Muniz. Okay.
Where's he been?
The world's been
racing cars.
The world's been clamoring for Muniz. But yeah, famous faces. Jack McGee is the
Do you think he gets with Bryan Cranston and is like, hey, like, let's be real. I was your first Aaron Paul.
Well, apparently they were getting together talking about the script. Apparently they're both very excited for Malcolm.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston loves the character.
So the main case is this rape case where it's a situation where there is a DNA match. The match is to a previous rape case of a husband and wife going through a divorce. When the guy comes in, he explains, I never confessed to rape. I confessed to criminal trespass because I was told by my lawyer that if it goes to trial and I lose, which I definitely could, I will go to jail for rape, which I didn't do, and I will be thrown off the list for firefighting. So I took this plea. They go, well, your DNA is in the rape kit. And he goes, how could that be when I haven't had sex with my wife in 6 months since then? So the idea being DNA doesn't match. I don't want to be that guy. Couldn't we just look up his DNA right now? Couldn't you just go, okay, here's a hair. Check it against that DNA. If it's not the same, then we know my wife was lying. Just do that right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just take your blood.
Like, why was there so much complication? Because at one point he's like, well, why don't you just take my DNA? And Sibley goes, that's your lawyer's job. He's like, can't you just do it? Can't you just do it as part of your investigation?
I'd have been like, oh, okay, can I talk to my lawyer? I haven't got my phone call yet. Can I call my lawyer?
Yeah, it really seems like...
Like, can I call my... I want my lawyer. Like, I feel like you have to give me one by law, so I want my lawyer.
It really was... It was bananas that this whole thing...
No, I agree with you. It came to my mind. It came to my mind when they were like, yeah, the DNA doesn't matter. Your DNA's there. He's like, no, I never had sex with my wife. And then he says, like, oh, they never took a DNA match. And then you see Sipowicz go, like, they never took a DNA match?
Why don't you take one now?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you take
just
one
call
right
a doctor
now?
Or call an EMT.
Like, we, we need to take a DNA sample because we have some. But it's so weird because everyone's like, no, just book him. And then they're like, well, he has a pretty convincing case. Why
well,
not to?
Andy says, like, no, it's. Andy basically tells the, like, lieutenant, like, he gives good answers. And then he's like, yeah, but maybe he's, like, running one on you. He's like, nah, like, you know, he just, like, his answers seem truthful. And yeah. It's like, dude, I've heard plenty of people in that room answer the same way and you not believe them. Like,
and he cuts himself in that, in the cell that he's in.
Yeah, because they treat him like a skull.
They treat him like a rapist, which he wasn't. He cuts himself in the cell. He goes to the hospital. They bring in the wife, and the attitude on this woman, pretty shocking, because they're like, hey, your ex-husband's going to go up for a rape he didn't commit because of DNA found in the rape kit. If it was somebody else's DNA, we need to know that. Or we could go to trial. They'll just take the DNA then, and we find out you were lying, and you go up for perjury. And she's like, ugh.
Well, no, first she tries to keep it. First she tries to keep it quiet so she doesn't know anything, and then she gets all pissed off and is like,
yeah.
I would have never gone through with it if he wouldn't have pled out, basically saying that she was lying about it.
Yeah. And then she gives the name Daryl something, and they go pick up that guy and convince him to confess by showing him the room full of blood and imply that they're going to beat the shit out of him in that room.
Which one I remember the first time I watched it. I thought that scene was cool.
Also, when I watched it the second time, I thought we don't have any protocol for bloodborne pathogens.
No, they do. He probably told them don't clean it out yet.
But I was like, that's not something you do.
And it's a jail. We're just throwing people in there.
Yeah, people who could get hurt.
Oh, but they're in jail, so who gives a shit?
Like, I was sitting there like, that's a lot of blood. You guys didn't clean this up.
Don't touch it. Sit with your feet up.
But it was bananas. So what's the other story?
The other story is how tight those pants are, huh, Echo? Giving me all the scrambled eggs and sausage for breakfast I need. Thanks, I had mine in a burrito earlier, Kirk. I didn't need another one.
You're an asshole.
Don't adjust it or anything. Just keep wiggling it in front of my face.
I have no idea how your sitting is comfortable.
It's not hurting my back. That's all that matters.
What was it? The end of that case is Sipowicz going to the firefighter at the hospital going like, so it turns out your wife was banging another guy. It's his DNA. Sorry.
I don't even think he apologizes.
No, he doesn't. He's like, yeah, so we're good. And he goes, how about an apology?
The best part. No, I don't think he says that right away. I think he does like a, huh. And then Sipowicz goes, what?
He's like, yeah.
And then they get into an argument, but the guy has to make like an audible, like Sipowicz basically comes and like you said, and is like, hey, bam, 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 wife's a whore, I'm out of here. And the guy just goes, oh, huh. And Sipowicz is like, what, something wrong? Like, yeah, douche.
Yeah, you...
You convicted me of rape. You called me a rapist numerous times. I told you my story was clean. I tried to kill myself. And just a minor... it's my bad. Can't even get that?
Sorry, dude. Well, it's also something that I wrote down because I was kind of shocked by it. When they take him out of the cell after he cut himself, they just have two different, like... I think it's ADR, but they have two different lines of dialogue from him. It's just, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's destroyed.
And it's like, fucking A.
Because if you remember, his wife says something, or his ex-wife says something that, like, about him being, like, a straight and narrow. Oh, no. Sipowicz does when he, about his answers. Like, he's put together. He's straight and narrow. He has everything. The way he describes his day, like, he knows everything. So, like, this man's probably taken, like, a really long time in his life to try to, like, get over the fact that he was, like, charged for rape and then, like, has this charge on him and all this shit. And so then for them to bring it all back up, like, kind of throw it in his face again and not believe him again, probably just, like, fucked him up. And then to not even apologize.
It's also great because he says, how about an apology? And Sipowicz goes, look, that's why I pursued it. We could have just booked you and walked away, but we didn't. We ran it down, and I'm not going to apologize for doing my job.
That's a wild statement. He basically is like, I could have done my job wrong.
But I did it right.
But I decided to keep doing my job the correct way, and I was able to find the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have just got the wrong answer and moved on if I wanted to.
If I wanted to.
And you would have been fucked.
But I didn't do that. Yeah. So where are my... Where's
so why do you need an apology?
Where's my apology?
I deserve a thank you.
But yeah, it was interesting because I was like, this is actually a pretty... it could have been kind of like a really engaging, involved story like from earlier seasons. But the fact of the matter is Sipowicz has got to walk in and be like, ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba, not apologizing for doing my job. Let's go watch.
Gotta go watch John fight.
Let's go watch a full scene from shitty Rocky. And like,
oh, so you mean Rocky?
You mean Rocky 5?
Rocky 3?
Rocky Balboa. So
Balboa. Creed. Creed 2, Electric Boogaloo.
The other case, a dude is dead in a parking lot. and they come to find out he like owns a company of dick grow cream.
Oh, yeah, this happened too.
Back alley sex changes.
Okay, so there's one person who acts well in this, and it is Filona.
You say they acted well?
I think they give the best performance in the whole show.
Well, slightly famous face, Daniel Escobar played.
They're in an earlier episode. They play a cis man in the first episode.
No.
I think.
Wasn't another trans person? Weren't they looking for a dead trans prostitute? And
then maybe he's in three episodes. Because I think he's in one episode as a cis man.
Well, Daniel Escobar also in the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oh, good for him.
Good for them. Daniel.
We don't know. I mean,
good for Daniel.
I think Daniel does the best job acting with what they're given in the story.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they come in all like, nothing's bothering me. Like, I'm great. Like, I'm all good. Like, life's like a fantastic ride. Like, yeah, this guy fucked up my chest, but we're all good.
Yeah, a lot of water off my back after destroying my chest.
This episode is a lot of exposition. Like, this story is a lot of... is driven a lot by exposition in between the two, like in between the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So they interview the guy who's dead. They interview the person at the car, and then someone says randomly, like, "Oh, Jones and Medavoy are running down the girlfriend," and then they're interviewing the girlfriend, and then it's like the girlfriend says about a business partner, about this, about that. Then they're like, you see them go get the business partner, talk to him, blah blah blah. But then everything is like, oh, where's everyone at right now? Oh, they're at the Mangrove Clinic going through paperwork.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him bringing back Filona?
I can't remember.
Filona. And bringing back Filona and then going like, hey, we found a receipt.
And of course, Filona shortened to Flan.
Where's your ball? Like, and then they come back and go, we have a receipt that you paid 10 grand for a sex... Well, I forget what they call it. It's like something reconstructive surgery. And then she goes, oh, that sounds like a sex change to me. Or sex change operation to me. Down.
She comes in the first time and is like, hey, you've left threatening phone calls. And she's like, well, yeah, well, he fucked up my breast implants. They were... not real implants, and I got sepsis, yeah, and a lot of surgeries, and lifts up their shirt, and it's pretty bad. Then they bring him in again a couple scenes later, and it's just like, so you also had a sex change operation? It's like, yeah, water under the bridge. And they're like, you also called him all the time, and you threatened to kill him, and this and
on
that.
On his cell phone.
On his cell phone.
So originally, Filona says, I called the office until the phone got disconnected, and then it stopped.
And then it was the cell phone.
They were like, oh, no, you called a bunch of times. And then I think they give a pretty decent performance talking about, like, the feeling of having, like, your dick... deformed, and then someone
not giving a shit.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it was probably like a pretty controversial episode, mm-hmm, and probably a controversial like topic of what, mm-hmm, they were talking about. You know,
it's also a touchy subject because we're talking about a transgendered woman and the decision to get surgery or not get surgery. But you know, she paid $10,000 in 2002. That would have been $17,800 today.
And that's still cheaper, though. Like, I think those surgeries are like 30 to 40 grand.
And what, are you looking into it? No, I'm just kidding.
No, you told me. Oh, something we'll talk about later. Sorry. You just asked me to look for you. You didn't want people to know. My bad.
I could do it myself. I watched that South Park episode. But does this mean she got bad top surgery and then went back for bottom surgery?
That's a great question.
Or did she go for both? Question.
What is the timeline?
Because if you...
Well, she has a separate receipt for the bottom. Like, is it one of those things where it's like, I got to bill you separate, but I can do it both at the same time?
We already got you up on the blocks. We might as well take care of it.
Like, I already got the hood up. Might as well, you know, bang around in there. Well, not yet. We're trying to get you a hood, I guess. Holy fuck.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, that's...
We already got you under. We figured we'd do two birds, one stone.
Well, no stones.
And why would we clean the knives?
It's the same blood.
That's horrible. Okay. I apologize.
I just want to throw up now. Because trannies, gross. No.
I was thinking about surgery. Because they went to their office. It's not the most professional operation.
And so, yeah, my question is where is he doing all those surgeries? But no. Yeah, that's a great question. Like, if he fucked up your top surgery that bad, what makes you give? Like, why'd you go? Like, hey, here's a knife.
He's not gonna mess at the bottom. He specializes in the bottom.
Here's all I have left of my dick. Take it.
He's got man grow. He understands penises. He just doesn't understand breasts.
I rub lotion on my dick all the time, and it's not growing.
Also, did you notice Metavoid palmed one of those into his pocket? Which is like, bro. And that also reminded me of that other episode when someone got their dick cut off and they find it at the ATM. Yeah. And Metavoid goes, if that's half, no wonder my wife left me. Yeah. It's like, what? You don't need to mention that your dick is small to your coworkers.
Well, you don't need to mention it to us. Like, we see how tall you are. No offense.
Oh, wow. The other not real story is Sipwitz doesn't want to talk about going to Disney World with Connie at the office. She gets kind of pissed about that because he, like, literally shushed her.
Hey, and hot bitches like me. I got to hide it and be ashamed of it.
And it basically ends with him sitting next to her at the thing, like, is this seat taken? And she's like, saving it for a friend. And you're like, nah, cheeky. But it's like, you're falling over.
I'm using the back of your bed to massage my lower back and push the bumps out. You should try these things every now and then. That's why your back's a piece of shit.
You should try using the microphone the entire podcast.
I am. Am I not speaking into it?
Sometimes you were over there.
Yeah. I go, put a dick in his mouth. Not yours, though, buddy.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of...
Like a stripper on a pole.
So the other thing that's kind of important
My dick rubbing up on the pole.
The other thing that's kind of interesting about this episode, this whole smoker situation.
Yeah.
Started...
Why is it called the smoker? Quick question.
No idea.
Why is it called the smoker?
Also, clearly...
Hey, Siri, why is a boxing match called the smoker?
And also... Not to be mean, but whoever designed their shirts, definitely a cop and not a graphic designer.
Well, I mean, like...
It looks like you did it in word art in, like, 15 minutes.
That's weird because everyone knows that when you go through the NYPD Police Academy, you're also going through a graphic design course. So it's weird that they don't know how to design T-shirts.
Anyway, the smoker completely started because Laughlin was basically like, yo, I heard her husband died. I gotta get it in. And
well, the smoker happens every year because the way they talk about it is like, you guys are fighting at the smoker, like it's your turn. Like last year was wild.
It's like Fight Club.
You're fighting at the smoker.
So it started because Laughlin was like, Ortiz, her husband died. I want to get it in. And John Clark Jr. had the audacity to go, hey, her husband just died, and aren't you married? And he's like, well, you son of a bitch. You challenge my manhood? You fucking do this to me? Unbelievable. I'm challenging you to the smoker, and then proceeds to just incessantly fuck with John Clark Jr. That's why this started. He was hitting on Ortiz. And Ortiz would come by every episode since and do the same thing. Heard you're fighting Laughlin in the smoker. He's like, yeah, it's no big deal. Sticking up for me is a big deal. She does that like four fucking times. Then, smoker's over. John's in his apartment. He's got ice on his nuts. Ortiz comes in, fucks him as a reward.
I mean, she's over her dead husband.
But it's so weird how it was like, hey, I'm kind of defending her honor that guys can't just bone her now that she has a dead husband, and then he fucks her.
Yeah, because that's how the world works.
It also was funny to me how, like, they kiss, and he goes, you don't have to do that. And then she's like, I want to. And he's like, okay, well, then get in bed, because you're getting fucked.
I mean, it was always going to happen. Like, they brought in the new, younger, hot girl, not for Sipowicz, so.
Yeah, the slightly older hot woman is for Sipowicz.
I think they might be the same age.
Ortiz and her?
In real life.
Because I thought they were kind of putting her a little younger than Connie, but I don't know why I thought that.
It could be, but I think... Bro, okay, so we have to talk about something. I know this isn't about this episode, but do you remember the... Because I just recently watched the Webster episodes.
So it has nothing to do with this. Okay.
But this is where NYPD Blue in like early 90s, 2000s blows me away. Because do you remember the cop that was the original detective for the Webster?
Yeah.
Okay. And they bring him in, and Simone solves the case. And the guy goes...
Is there room for me?
No. It's that scene, but he goes, you know, I'm 38. I don't know how much more I got left on this job. And I don't know if we talked about it when we first aired it, but I, this time, stopped it. Looked over, rewound the scene, watched it, and I was like, that fucker is so old for 38.
That's not a 38.
I looked at that man and said, do I look like him now? I'm older than him.
He is a...
And there's no way I look like that dude now.
No, you don't.
That made me go, like, in those first couple episodes, Sipowicz is in his mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's wild. It's bananas.
And then Kelly is supposed to be like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Wild to me.
Absolutely.
Kelly looks like a 45-year-old man.
Yeah. People, like, it was like a Bill Burr bit, but it was like, yeah, it's because, you know how, like, people these days are drinking water? Like, people, like, give, like, a little bit of a shit about what they're putting in their body. That's why everybody looked 50 at 30 back then, is because we weren't drinking water. We were drinking Coca-Cola and, like, whiskey. And we were eating trash all day. Now just the act of, like, trying a little bit has made us look a little bit younger.
No, it's just, it blew me away. Because then, like, even watching this episode, like, you know, some people don't look their age. And it's, like, a little later on, but, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else about this episode before we,
No, like I've said, I feel like we've hit the downfall, like.
We've hit the downfall.
Yeah, I feel like the Schroeder years is the start of the downhill, you know? And then I think there's, like, a drop-off, like a cliff. I can't figure out where it is. I feel like it's around now.
Oh, like, so you're saying there was a decrease in the Schroeder. But we're reaching the cliffside.
Yeah, we're reaching a point where it's not good anymore.
In season 9 of a 12-season show.
Yeah, yeah. That's not impossible. The Office's last 2 years, 2.5 seasons for me were pretty unbearable. Mm. Like, there's some, like, rewarding qualities from it, but, like, there are some times where it's just, like, we're getting to those like if I watch The Office and it's like on the, in the background and I get to those seasons, I'll stop watching it. Like Andy's cross country journey, fuck out of here! I don't get to watch that shit. Like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, since we're talking about a couple older episodes, I kind of recently in the background put on the Schroeder years because contributor Ben from Binging with Ben has finished the Schroeder years. Mm-hmm. So I threw them on, and I truly believe the writers fucked him over. I think he had the potential, but they start him out comparing him to Andy or to Bobby too much. They then have some interesting things about him that they just drop. Then they force him to be with fucking Russell for some strange-ass reason that doesn't make a lot of sense and kind of sucks.
Then the breakup of that makes him look like a child. And then right before he leaves, they put him in this story that is pretty terrible, too. I think he was just kind of fucked by the writing.
I agree. I agree with that. I do. I agree, but there's also choices he makes as an actor and those prompts that he's given that aren't good. Like, he just doesn't act it well. Like, it's, like, rough. Like, watching the first, like, 4 or 5 episodes of Jimmy Smits, it's like, and even Kelly, it's like, oh, fuck, like, they're good at this. Like, like, there's a reason NCIS or whatever fucking CIS he was on is good. Like, he's a good TV actor. Like, he's able to figure it out. He's able to get people to watch.
CSI Miami.
He does something. Yeah, CSI, whatever it is. He does something that gets people to watch it. He's good at it.
What about Silver Spoons? No, I don't completely disagree. But that's also then comparing him to Zack Attack, Mark Paul. It's like, is Mark Paul really doing a better job than Schroeder?
No. Not at all. And not to foreshadow, but that last season, he's fucking hot garbage. Well, there's that season and a half where he and Andy are at odds and he's fighting with Andy because his, like, you can cut all this out or bleep it, whatever, because he killed his dad killed himself because his dad was fucking a whore and, like, a list came out and John was going to take the heat for him. And, well, the start of that conflict through the acting choices that JPG makes, or MPG makes,
John JPG,
John Paul Gosselaar, Mark Paul Gosselaar makes, is they're he's so bad. He tries to be like this, like, bad boy. I think he tried to do the opposite of Zach Morris. He tried to not be this, like, cool, like, oh, everybody likes me. He's like, no, I want to be, like, edgy and, like, be an asshole and, like, come in and, like, you know, I'm fucking this doctor, but I'm coming in with all my clothes dirty and shit. Like, and it just wasn't good.
Well, let's just be happy that the smoker is over. We don't have to hear about it.
So the reason it's called a smoker is because...
Is that why you stopped paying attention during the podcast?
No.
Okay, great.
Because you started talking. Boxing events are called smokers due to the origins and private... often informal fight gatherings, typically held in smoky back rooms or clubs, especially in the early to mid-20th century. Smoker was slang for a men's social gathering often hosted by fraternal organizations, military units, or athletic clubs. These gatherings featured boxing matches, cigars, drinking, and other atmosphere, or other entertainment. Sexual assault, hence the smoke-filled atmosphere. They were typically invite only.
Is sexual assault in there?
Or
did
not
you just
widely
add it?
Advertised, which gave them a bit of an underground exclusive feel. Some smokers were used as amateur showcases, especially for military or police boxing programs.
Was sexual assault in there, or did you add it?
Oh, I added it.
Okay, fantastic.
You think that...
Well, the smoker's over. I honestly don't know how, if that happened the way it did, Laughlin just doesn't take spoonfuls of shit for weeks. Because he was fucking such a dick the whole time that I feel like anytime he turns around, it should be like, yo, what's up? Yeah, you fucking lost to Clark because you're a bitch and you tried to hit him in the nuts like an asshole.
Well, we'll see. It's that thin blue line, though, you know? Even within the police department, you see that, like, they even only, like, look out for their own departments.
Yeah, pretty
much.
Like,
uniforms are going to look out for uniforms. They don't care about the squad.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the way the guy
introduced
them?
Yeah, that was Pat McGee, by the way.
And he was just talking mad shit on fucking John, but, like...
Yeah.
And then, like, he kind of digs at Laughlin about the overtime, but for the most part, he's just... talking mad shit about John. 170 pounds, soaking wet.
Represent the detective squad. Yeah. Also, quick question. Laughlin's married. Was his wife there?
No, because he's trying to fuck everybody. His wife doesn't come to his work.
So, like,
if his wife comes to work, then all the women at work will associate him having a wife, and then none of them will fuck him.
So yeah, like fuck that guy. And clearly he's working on his first or second divorce. And
looks like the first.
But it seems like he's one of those guys that like lives on Long Island and doesn't let his wife do anything. And so like they won't get a divorce until they're like they're in their mid 50s and she realizes that she's with an asshole.
I had it and it's gone. It was a joke about his divorce. Anyway, anything else before we wrap it up?
No. No, it's just the downfall.
I will say, after, not to front load it too much, but next episode, I think you have a case. Because
next episode is rough.
Next episode gets a little rough.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. Because I thought when I was younger that it was a great episode.
I remember
the first time watching it being like, holy fuck, they did it. They did something different. They got it.
Yeah, once I was an adult and kind of understood the political ramifications of what the guy's talking about and what's going on, I really don't like it. I think it's really stupid.
And the guy who ran the tactical squad?
Yeah.
Do you think that he...
We haven't got to that episode. We got it.
Was he friends with the Bluths during this time? Or and when did he lose his arm?
Okay.
And do we think that's why he quit? Do we think he lost his arm in a tactical situation? So that's why he quit and started working for the Bluths to like be a guy who would like... Or do we think he was like the head of the Bluth security / they used him because he lost his arm and like tactical shit over in New York?
You done with the bit?
I just want to know.
Thank you for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see the show in their algorithms, and more importantly, they might start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. We're on Instagram at Astro Brothers Podcast, mostly just mentioning when new episodes are coming out or why episodes are being delayed. If you just need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show. Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. And there are two in-universe stories by Max Allen Cullens, Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings. If you find them for a decent price, I'd say they're worth the read. Thank you so much for listening, for being patient, for enjoying the podcast, assuming you are, especially if you got all the way to the end here. I think you're enjoying it, but I hope you're enjoying it. Have a good one. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. Peace.